Persil sorgt schon seit 1907 für tiefenreine Wäsche. Auch bei den Johnsons. Oder, Anna?
Das stimmt. Sogar meine Oma hat schon mit Persil gewaschen.
Und als Dankeschön für über 100 Jahre Vertrauen gibt's jetzt bis zu 15 Euro Rabatt auf unser Bestes.
Das mit der roten Schleife.
Genau. Made in Germany. Mehr Infos auf unserbestes.persil.de.
Wenn es tiefenrein ist, ist es Persil.
Welcome to the program. We got a lot to get to tonight, but first let me tell you about a new movie from Angel Studios. This is called Sound of Hope. It's inspired by the powerful true story of Bishop and First Lady Donna Martin and their Bennett Chapel Church in the town of Possum Trot. This is in the woods of East Texas. 22 families from a rural black church linked arms and courageously adopted 77 of the most difficult to place children in the local foster care system. What an incredible story. And they did all this between 1998 and 2000. One of the kids maybe was in 2011, but most of it was in that really tight period of time. And this East Texas community proved that with real determined love, the battle for America's most vulnerable can be won, as this act ignited a national movement you probably heard of, which for helping vulnerable children. It really helps thousands today. The first step to ending a crisis is to raise awareness. So check this out. It's called Sound of Hope, the story of Possum Trot. It's available. If you get your tickets at angel.com/stew. Angel.com/stew. You've been seeing some of these Angel Studios movies lately. They're really good. You're going to like these movies. They have great messages, but also they're just really freaking good movies. The fight for kids begins on July 4th when Sound of Hope opens in theaters. It's angel.com/stew. Angel.com/stew.
Stu Does America.
There's a brand new episode of State of the Race, my audio podcast available free to you wherever you get your Stu Does America podcast. It's a bonus pod, basically, and it goes into kind of the state of the race. Today's episode is basically the state of the race before the debates kick in. We're kind of right on the verge of election season really taking off. So where do we stand right now? Sort of a marker so we all understand that. Check it out on the Stu Does America feed, wherever you get your audio podcasts. Also, tune into Blaze TV tomorrow night. We're going to have our special debate coverage. I will be taking over my own show, basically. I'm going to be taking over and doing a broadcast on the network that is going to preempt our actual show. So you'll see me tomorrow night, but this show will actually not be here. If you're watching on the YouTube channel, you may need to go somewhere else to get the coverage, probably blazetv.com/stew. I don't know if it's on YouTube, though. I'm not sure. You can check there, too. YouTube.com/stewdoesamerica is where you can catch my special post coverage, however. And we're going to be going through what happened during the debate, maybe doing some preview stuff. So go there, follow the channel, click the bell for notifications, and when we go live, you'll know about it at youtube.com/stewdoesamerica. Glenn Beck is going to be here in just a couple of minutes to talk about the caste system the elites have constructed for the rest of us. The New York Times finally tells the truth about Biden's horrific position on trans surgery for children. We're going to start by doing Biden's low expectations, and this is sort of a pre-debate coverage of a post-show, pre-show. We're way out ahead of this one, but this is part of the preview of the debate, I guess, in a way, because there's a conversation that's been going on for a while about how conservatives are talking about Joe Biden and his ability to do well in this debate. I think most conservatives are looking at this and saying, look, Joe Biden is an invalid, so beating him in a debate is not exactly a high hurdle to clear. That being said, the argument sort of goes like this. Yeah, sure, Joe Biden is an invalid. However, if you keep pointing out all the time that he has absolutely no ability and cannot get through sentences and is basically incoherent, you're providing him this incredibly low hurdle to clear. You're providing him an opportunity to exceed expectations. This point has been made a bunch of times, but most recently probably with the State of the Union address, where everyone was like, oh, gosh, is he even going to be able to stand for 60 minutes to make this speech? And he came out, and I will argue with anyone who says he came out and did a good job. No, he didn't. That was a terrible speech. He was awful. He lied constantly. He screamed. He still stuttered and stammered and did all the things that he does. But it was still above that very basic line, which was, can he remain upright? Right. Everyone built up what a colossal dud that this man is, that when he was able to kind of stand up and show a little bit of energy, particularly early, it was seen as this gigantic triumph. And the argument made by some conservatives and some of the mainstream media who are just, you know, like to be critical of conservatives is, you guys keep lowering this bar for him. You keep saying he can't do these things. And then in these bigger moments, debates, big speeches, you know, State of the Unions, conventions, he's been able to clear the bar by just acting below average. So the theory is you shouldn't lower expectations before the debate. But I want to push back against that a little bit tonight, because that is first of all, it's a valid theory. It's a conversation we've had before. I've brought this up to you before. It is a valid, but I believe limited theory. There is risk in lowering expectations for your opponent. And these things are real. When people believe really, really terrible things about a candidate and they come out and they do just okay, that's a win, right? The candidate is exceeding expectations, and that's really what it's all about going in. Not to mention, if your candidate, if you happen to be a Trump supporter and you're looking at this and you're saying, well, Trump's going to kill him. If he only slightly defeats him or winds up going to a draw, you're devastated by that outcome, right? So setting expectations is important. I don't want to say it's invalid, but it is, I think, limited in this particular case. Because let's be honest about it. The expectations for Joe Biden are not set by Republicans and how they talk about Joe Biden. That is not what is setting these expectations. When you look at Joe Biden and you say, wow, I don't expect him to do much, it's not because you heard Donald Trump saying he's not going to do much. And the evidence is kind of, the proof is in the pudding here. I mean, think about this. The number one obvious reason to be a little bit questioning of this theory is Republicans never successfully message anything. They never succeed in messaging something. When is the last time this happened? I mean, to give you maybe the most blatant example here, there is an issue that's really important to a lot of us. We just had an anniversary of the overturning of Roe versus Wade the other day. If you happen to be someone who cares about the life issue, you know how frustrating this is. One side of the argument is saying babies should live. The other side of the argument is saying babies should die. That is the fundamental breakdown of these two policies. Yet, no matter how many times Republicans, conservatives point this out, no matter how many ways they seem to point this out, at the end of the day, the mainstream media and a good chunk of the country comes back to the table and says, actually, the humanitarian side is the one that wants the babies dead. And you're like, wait a minute, how did a conservative movement, a Republican Party, allow the branding of pro-life versus pro-choice? Pro-life is fine. You know, it's a good way of saying it. Hey, we care about life. It's stating the facts of the matter. But pro-choice? This is not about choice. Choice is what happens when you go to 7-Eleven and there's a bunch of energy drinks there and you pick one of them. That's choice. Choice is not, I want to end the life of a kid. That's not a choice. Jeffrey Dahmer wasn't making choices. They're murders. And somehow, because Republicans are terrible at this, and the media are, and even to be fair to Republicans, even when they're good at this, the mainstream media just ignores what they're saying and they decide to present it the opposite way. So there's no evidence whatsoever that if, you know, the Republicans suddenly decided, well, we're not going to lower expectations for Joe Biden, we want to raise them, that would be successful anyway. At the end of the day, we know Republicans don't do this very well. And here's the most important point. Expectations are not set by what Donald Trump says. They are not set by what Marco Rubio or J.D. Vance or Doug Burgum say. In fact, nothing is set by what Doug Burgum has ever said. Expectations are set by people's eyeballs. Expectations are set by people's ears. They, across the country, are seeing and hearing Joe Biden. And the expectations for his performance are set by how terrible the results are. When they look at Joe Biden stammer and stumble and fall asleep and walk around the stage and not know what he's talking about and show that he is an elderly man with a poor memory, when he goes through those moments, that is what sets expectations. It's not Republican talking points. Republicans can attempt to influence that conversation. Maybe they come up with a little catchy line, you know, maybe something, you know, this is what Donald Trump tries to do, right? Sleepy Joe, Crooked Hillary, Little Marco, tries to affect these things in sort of ways, but Crooked Hillary doesn't work as a nickname unless she seems crooked to everyone. Sleepy Joe does not work as a nickname unless he seems sleepy to everyone. And he does seem sleepy to everyone. It is not Donald Trump's talking points or Fox News Channel or The Blaze that is setting expectations so low for Joe Biden. It's stuff like this.
Let's go lick the world.
We cheer for Muslim athletes like Kareem and Joan Shingang. I'm going to pronounce her. Shanga Kawawa.
Ban on transgender Americans, transgender Americans.
Mr. President, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
I appreciate
it's great
it.
To have you.
Thank
it's
you.
Great
thank
to have
you. Thank you.
Thank you. Don't go anywhere. It's a very exciting day around here. We'll have a reaction.
I met alone that one. Him, just he and I, and a simultaneous interpreter, 68 times, 68 hours, 68 times, more than 68 hours.
All right. God save the Queen, man.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. We really appreciate it, and we love you. Thank you.
I might add, if I didn't, I'd be sleeping alone.
Huh? None of these moments, of course, are the only moments that you would know by watching Joe Biden. But when you watch a person act that way, we all have a feeling, right? We all have a feeling, a feeling that we've felt when we watch our elderly relatives fade, when we see them slip away from the people they used to be into the people they unfortunately will end up, when people's minds sort of drift into the abyss. That's the moment that we've all dealt with in our personal lives. And no one likes it, but we certainly don't like it when the person who's in the middle of that transition is running the government of the United States of America. I mean, it's stunning for people to see. This is why they think he's gonna suck tomorrow night, because he sucks. It's not talking points, it's not nicknames, it's because people have eyes. That is the reason why people think Joe Biden is going to fail during the debate. It's not expectation setting. It's vision, hearing, awareness by American voters who look at this situation and say, this is freaking crazy. He might not even be able to stand up for 90 minutes. That's what's setting expectations. It's amazing. Now, if you doubt this theory, consider the opposite. Consider if Donald Trump and Fox News and The Blaze and The Daily Wire all got together and had one of our secret little meetings where we all align our talking points. And that talking point came out as, let's just make Joe Biden look really smart and really on the ball. Let's just say, hey, we're going to just attempt to make him look like the smartest guy ever. He might have the best debate in history. Do you think that would work? I've got news for you. The left has been trying to do it for 4 years, and it has not been successful. Still, 80-something percent of America think Joe Biden is too old, despite being hit over the head over and over and over again by the mainstream media, telling you over and over and over again that this guy's actually on a sharpest attack, on the ball all the time. He's incredible when the cameras are off. I wish you could see him there, but I don't know if he's allergic to cameras or what, but when he comes out in front of you guys, he's a total dolt. We got that. But when he goes behind him, we're there with him. He's incredible, despite month after month after month after month of being beaten over the head by how amazingly on top of things this guy is. Nobody believes it. And this is with the left and the entire media echoing the same claim. Nobody believes it because they have eyes, because they have ears, because they can see and hear that what is being pitched is not true. You know, the Hillary corrupt thing worked well because it was already built in. You knew it was true in advance. And you want to say Crooked Hillary? People know that emphasizes something they already realize is true. It's not the case. You can't just do this to anybody. Everybody knows the Joe Biden thing is true. Everyone knows he's fading away. Everyone knows Sleepy Joe which is about the best thing you could say about him right now, is that he's a little sleepy. It's more about the fact that he has no intellectual ability. He seems to be completely off his rocker. And that's not me saying that. That's what everyone sees. Everyone in the country recognizes the same thing. And I got, you know, of course, the additional thing to throw on here is if it were successful, a Republican effort to heighten expectations and say how smart Joe Biden would be, it wouldn't really be a good thing, would it? You wouldn't want that to work as the opposition party. You know, and it's like you can't just have years and years and years and years of watching a guy like Joe Biden fail mentally and then reverse it a week before the debate and say, actually, I think he's going to be really good. That's not going to work. People aren't going to trust you. They're not going to believe it. And I would argue, by the way, multiple years of saying and showing Joe Biden's mental acuity failures is much more beneficial than whatever benefit you might get by lowering the bar a little bit for one night's debate. We're talking about year after year. I mean, the reason why his approval rating is low is because of who he is and what his policies are, but also the fact that that's been emphasized. And the right has correctly, I think, looked at this situation and said, look, this is reality. We should make sure people understand what that reality is. The one thing that doesn't quite fit into this puzzle, and I don't really understand what's going on. I talked about it on radio with Glenn a little bit earlier. He's going to be on next, by the way. Is the immense amount of coverage over the past week or two about how much prep Joe Biden is actually putting into this debate. They make him seem like he's a nuclear physicist who's gathered in Camp David for day after day after day of hardcore studying. It would make sense at other times to say Joe Biden behind the scenes super smart. They've tried that. I understand why they try it. Doesn't work, but I understand why they try it. They want you to believe. They want you to disbelieve your own eyes, I suppose. But right before a debate, the fact that they're spending so much time saying he's incredibly prepared is very strange. Because what you're saying here is basically, this is the best version of Joe Biden you can get. The guy's been spending 2 weeks doing mock debates, studying policy points, doing everything he can to prepare for this one big night. If he comes out and bombs, that's going to be a problem. And the only thing I could really come up with was this is definitely true. There are people inside the administration and around the administration who wish that Joe Biden would not be the candidate. And is there a part of this where they're trying to raise expectations before the debate, hoping that if he does fail, I mean, if he succeeds, who cares? Fine. You're OK. But if he fails, you have a way to say, wow. Everyone was raising their expectations for this guy because of all the prep that he did. And at the end of the day, he actually looked worse than we even thought. Maybe there's a last ditch argument to try to remove him. We know people like Nate Silver has made this point. He's not really a Democratic insider. He's an analyst. But I mean, he echoes the conversations that have gone on with people like David Axelrod, who is very much a Democratic insider. Is it possible that they're going to the media and saying, hey, he's doing a lot here. This is going to be as good as it gets right here. If it's not successful this time, maybe we need to switch this guy out. That could be the reason. It could just be that they're trying to build him up and do the same old tricks where they're trying to say, hey, at the end of the day, this guy is much smarter and more on top of things off camera. And now he's finally showing it to you on camera. I don't know. It seems like a strange tactic leading up to debate. I want to talk to Glenn about his thoughts about where this goes, not only what Donald Trump should do in this debate, but also put your mind in a place where you're advising Joe Biden. You want Joe Biden to win. What do you do in this debate? We'll talk to Glenn Beck about that next. I talked to you a while about the Jace case. And the Jace case is one of those things that you might think to yourself, well, I'm never going to need that, right? Like, there's a bunch of medications that, yes, if God forbid the supply chains broke down, I'd need something like that. But I don't know. I mean, I'm sure everything will be fine. I mean, have you changed your opinion on that sort of thing? I think I was like that back in the day. You know, I was like, hey, everything will probably work out. Do I really need to prepare for these sorts of things? Well, I think we kind of got that lesson in 2020, did we not? Did we not learn that maybe, I mean, considering my wife was ordering toilet paper from China I think we were kind of at the point where we realized these things are a little more fallible than we think, especially when governments get involved and tragedies occur. The JACE case is a personalized emergency kit that contains essential antibiotics and medications that treat the most common and deadly bacterial infections. But more than that, it's peace of mind. It is something when, you know, if you have kids, God forbid we get into one of these situations and something very curable happens and you can't get a hold of the medications you need. It's about taking responsibility for what you want, what you believe, what you think your family needs, and taking that responsibility away from the government, away from the economy, away from some company in China, and putting it in your court. You're taking responsibility for your own family yourself, and that is vitally important. JACE.com is the place to go. JASE.com. Enter the code STU at checkout for a discount on your order. The promo code is STU at JACE.com. JASE.com. It is the JACE case from JACE Medical.
Lust auf besonders feine Weihnachten? Erlebe einzigartigen Genuss mit Rewe Feine Welt. Diese Woche zum Beispiel Rewe Feine Welt Schweizer Käse Trüffeltraum mildwürzig, je 150 Gramm Packung nur 3,49 Euro. Oder Rewe Feine Welt italienischer Prosciutto Crudo, roher Schinken mit Meersalz behandelt, mindestens 18 Monate gereift, je 100 Gramm Packung nur 4,29 Euro. Festlich sparen mit Genuss. Rewe, dein Markt.
I'm joined once again by Glenn Beck, I think live from the Imus Ranch. He is a brand new special coming up tonight, 9 p.m. Eastern. It's American elites have built a caste system for you. Be sure to stay tuned and check the show out. Glenn, how are you doing?
I'm good. I was thinking about Don the other day.
Really?
And how much I miss his friendship because we were always hammering each other. You know, I thought about it. I thought, you know, I'm spending 3 months up at my ranch, which Don Imus used to do. And I used to think, how unrelatable and weird is that? So
and there you are.
And here I am.
Yeah.
Here I am.
You also are in the middle of renovations that I mean, they border on a government project at this point.
We're building the Gaza, dock.
The Gaza pier?
Yeah, Gaza Pier. It's
good.
Great.
Good.
It's great.
Sure,
it'll never be done, and it will never do what it was built to do.
So. No, there you go. Perfect. You do have a show, though. You're doing shows, of course, live from the ranch. You're going to be on our debate coverage. I want to get into that in a little bit as well. But your show tonight is American Elites have built a caste system for you. What are you going into tonight?
Tonight is really, really, I think, a great episode. I'm just looking for some of the notes on it. We start with the economy and just ask some, questions on, have you noticed? Why is this? Look at these charts. I mean, when you see the charts tonight at the very beginning of the show that deal with the top 1%, the bottom 50%, everything has changed since 2008. Everything has changed. And we are being impoverished by the elites. Well, why? And then when you see the stats on how much land, including public land, is being sold to foreign countries, you got to ask yourself, what the hell's going on with that? What do you mean we're selling public land to China? We're selling public land to other countries? Why would we do that? And the biggest buyer of American manufacturing and American businesses, this year it's been off the charts. The biggest buyers are not companies from America or people from America. They're all foreign-owned companies buying everything at a great, great discount here in America. We're being sold. Right now, the auction is happening. You're just not aware of it.
Of course, not involved in it at all, though it affects you greatly. We know we're on the wrong path here, and we are. I've been doing this for a long time, but over the past few years in particular, there's the beginning of a possibility of maybe reversing some of that damage is tomorrow night when we have the first debate in June, before these people are even the official nominees of their parties. You've watched a lot of elections. We've covered a lot of them together. This is one of the strangest things I've ever seen.
Well, what is normal, Stu? I mean, they said that Joe Biden would return us to normalcy. You know, people just want to get back to normal. Well, this isn't normal. Nothing is normal. You know, and we just let all of these things pass and go, huh, I wonder why. Well, there's a reason. I don't know what the reason is, but there is a reason they're doing it at this point. You brought up a good point on the radio show today that, you know, it's it may be some insider thing trying to let him fail now and kind of emphasize the failure by hyping this as, oh, man, he's going to be on the top of his game. He's at Camp David for the last 7 days. He's study, study, study. Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. It's fascinating to watch it all sort of play out, though. I mean, we're doing a debate in June. People are going to go on vacation and do the July 4th thing just a few days after this. You have a situation where, I mean, we are seeing a revolt against at least some of these far left progressive values that we were told were the future, you know, Jamal Bowman being thrown out of office yesterday. You know, is this a real pushback? Does this mean something, or is this, you know, Jamal Bowman is just crazy and, you know, pulling fire alarms everywhere?
Oh, no, I think the American people have had enough. And if Donald Trump has the ability to be himself and just remember that Thursday he's only talking to one person, and that one person could be an independent, a Democrat, a Republican, none of that matters. But that one person is having their throat stepped on by the policies of this administration, by inflation, at school with their kids. Their throat is being stepped on every step of the way. And I believe that even the Democrats, Bowman, even the Democrats are like, you know, I think this is getting crazy. This is what happened in 1920 after Woodrow Wilson. And I don't think we're exactly at that point yet, but we're pretty close. If they don't start a war, if they don't collapse our dollar, or they don't riot in the streets to where we have to have a national emergency, this will come to an end. This will come to an end.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's definitely some pushback. I just can't tell if it's high-profile examples, you know, or if it's a real movement. Like, I was watching an interview. You may have played this while I was out last week. But there was an interview between Sage Steele and Jillian Michaels. Did you see any of this? And Jillian Michaels is, as she points out, a lesbian, married lesbian with, an adopted child of color and she goes through all of her liberal credentials. And she moved out of California. And her point was just not that she's conservative, just that this place has gone completely insane. They're allowing kids to be victims of predators. They're allowing, you know, men into women's bathrooms. She goes through the litany of things that have gone on in California that we've covered. But like when you're hitting people like that, something's going wrong with the left.
Well, so the thing is, and this is where progressivism and communism and everything goes wrong, is it's great to talk about it. It's great to dream about it, but it's a nightmare to live it because it doesn't work. It never works. And there's now been enough proof. You know, before it was like, look, these people don't catch the vision of tomorrow. It's a much more enlightened way to live. It's a stronger, you know, healthier democracy. You know, we're going to reform the police. We're going to reform our schools. We're going to. And then when you see it in practice, you realize none of that works. And so you will go the other way. Even if you don't agree with it, you'll be like, that doesn't work. Okay? I don't want anything to do with that. And so far, there's no one offering, thank God, anything but a return to the Constitution. This is the time where a demagogue could step in at any time and go, you know what? This Constitution is old and dusty, and it doesn't work. At least right now, we have, I think, enough Republicans and Democrats in the country to stand up and say, no, we're not changing that. But they've transformed everything. and you're feeling the effects. And I think people are tired of fighting about it. I think people are tired of, you know, standing up and being that person. They don't ever want to be that person. I think they're going to stand up in November. I could be wrong. I hope I'm not, but I could be wrong. Yeah. I think you're going to see people who don't want to vote for Donald Trump, but they just can't vote for this. Yeah. They cannot do it.
Yeah.
And they will vote because they know they can't afford this to go on anymore.
It was sort of a reverse dynamic of 2020, right? Where things, you know, there was at that time a pushback against Trump, and people were, you know, kind of sick of all the craziness, the perceived craziness at that time. And Biden, I thought, for all of his faults, had a smart campaign strategy, which was to say, number one, I'm going to stay in the basement. COVID, I can't go out there. Smart, right? Did not expose himself to the media and people actually seeing how inept he was. But number two, and maybe more importantly, was that pitch of a return to normalcy. And like people, you know, they're like, this is old guy. What's he going to do? I mean, he's this old guy. I don't want the craziness anymore. It was a smart campaign strategy. We know now, of course, it was a complete lie. We knew then, but the country now knows that it's a complete lie. So let me test you with this, because you had a great rant today on radio. I encourage people to go back and listen to it about what Donald Trump should do. You touched on it a little bit here a minute ago, but the whole thing is really worth listening. Go back and listen to the radio show today. But let me reverse it on you. You're a Democratic operative. You're behind the scenes with Joe Biden. You know his limitations. You know how this has gone for 3.5 years. But you still want Joe Biden to win. I can't give you a reason as to why. But you do. You're in that position. Glenn Beck, what do you tell Joe Biden as to what his strategy should be going into this debate?
Piss him off. Piss him off. Let America see an unhinged Donald Trump, a vindictive, angry Donald Trump. That would be probably my only advice. You can't fight him on the facts, because everybody's living the facts. You know, you could appeal to your uber progressive green coalition, but you already have them. You need to bring it home that the economy is doing well. And I don't know how you're going to do that. I really don't know how you're going to do that. And if, especially if Donald Trump is focused. So the only thing you can do is get him to be vindictive, get him to be mean, get him off the track. So something happens during the debate that makes everybody look there instead of at the facts and the real choices.
That's going to be fascinating to watch, because you're right. If you can do that and Trump loses control, there could be that moment that everybody remembers.
I don't think Donald Trump's going to lose control. He's walking with a swagger again. You know, he's walking knowing, I got this. I got it. I just can't lose it. And when he has that attitude, he's more fun. He's more playful. You know, and I don't think he feels like he's under the gun right now. But they're going to try to, you know, they're going to call him a felon. And everything else. And he shouldn't even respond to that.
Yeah,
That's interesting, because a lot of interesting things are happening with your DOJ. But let's talk about, we're not here to talk about me. We're here to talk about you, the American listener and viewer, not Joe Biden, not Jake Tapper, but you. How are you doing in your job? Do you feel secure? How are you doing with your bank account? How are you doing every time you go to the grocery store? How do you feel every time you drop your kids off at school or you hear about their homework? How are you doing every time your wife has to go out at night and she's going anywhere near the city? How are you doing with the fact that there has been zero job growth, zero job growth for Americans? All the job growth has been for illegals. How are you doing? And if you're doing well, then God bless you. You're one of the few. But if you're not doing well, this has got to end. You may not like my tweets. This has got to end.
Glenn Beck, his new special coming up tonight, 9 p.m. Eastern. Tonight is American Elites Have Built a Caste System for You. Be sure to stay tuned. And, of course, watch on Blaze TV, blazetv.com/stew. Promo code is stew. You'll save $20. Glenn, thanks for joining us from the Imus Ranch, which is...
it's the Glenn
Beck Ranch. It's like the Imus Ranch, except you're not curing any kids of cancer.
Yeah. Wow. And I think I've given a few kids cancer up here. That's really
reversing Imus's work. There you go.
Yeah, we're just burying toxic waste up here. That's all we're doing.
But, absolutely.
Hey, have a good time.
Thanks, Glenn.
Bye.
If you want to support the important work Glenn is doing at his ranch, Giving Kids Cancer, one of the ways you can do that is supporting realestateagentsitrust.com. Actually, this is Glenn's company. He started this years ago, and he did this because he was having issues with his real estate agent. And I want to say real estate agent. It was real estate agents. It was time after time after time. When you'd hear him stop ranting about, like, Barack Obama and we go to commercial, I'd have to hear him talking about his real estate agent. That was my life for many, many years. But realestateagentsitrust.com has solved this problem. Why? Well, they actually do the screening. You don't just pick somebody you kind of know or somebody you heard, somebody, a friend of a friend of a friend of a friend liked. You get real results. You find out who the best agent is in your area and someone who, like, aligns with the way you view these transactions and view the world. It's important. And realestateagentsitrust.com is a place to go to find the person to get you the best representation for your most important financial transaction. It's realestateagentsitrust.com. The name says it all. It's a free service to you, by the way. realestateagentsitrust.com.
Einsteigen, aufdrehen, losfahren. Mit dem neuen Volkswagen T-Roc bist du bereit für den großen Auftritt. Selbstbewusst und voller Power. Du steigst ein? Keine Kompromisse. Nur du und der Moment. Alles passt. Dein Sound, dein Drive, dein T-Roc. Rockt. Der neue T-Roc.
Fascinating report by the New York Times, mainly just fascinating because they actually reported it. Biden officials push to remove age limits for trans surgery, documents show. It's an extensive story that actually outs some emails that point to the probability that this is what the Biden administrations were doing. These are excerpts from people inside of the discussions on how they were going to treat this publicly. I'll give you a couple of issues here. This is Sarah Botang. She was serving as Admiral Levine's chief of staff. Admiral Levine's the trans health person, and, to be clear, is a man. Okay, but that's not the language they use here. But I just wanted to prepare you so you'd understand what was happening. She is confident, based on the rhetoric she is hearing in D.C. and from what we have already seen, the specific listings of ages under 18 will result in devastating legislation for trans care. She wonders if the specific ages can be taken out. Now, what she's talking about is that the draft guidelines released in late 2021 recommended lowering the age minimums to 14 for hormonal treatments, 15 for mastectomies, 16 for breast augmentation or facial surgeries, and 17 for genital surgeries or hysterectomies. Now, again, they've been telling you forever that this isn't happening. They knew it was happening, and they were trying to hide it from you. Now, this is on record from the New York Times in these emails. Another email stated that Admiral Levine was, quote, very concerned that having ages, mainly for surgery, will affect access to care for trans youth and maybe adults, too. Apparently, the situation in the USA is terrible, and she and the Biden administration worried that having ages in the document will make matters worse. She asked us to remove them. In other emails released this week, some members voiced their disagreement with the proposed changes. If our concern is with legislation, which I don't think it should be, we should be basing this on science and expert consensus if we're being ethical. Wouldn't including the ages be helpful, one member wrote. I need someone to explain to me how taking out the ages will help in the fight against the conservative anti-trans agenda. This is not, again, conservatives outing this, at least having the emails. This was actually released by someone who is skeptical of these treatments. However, these are real emails and being reported by the New York Times. Really fascinating stuff. And the fact that this is coming out now makes you wonder, makes you think a little bit. Let me tell you about the Supreme Court today. There was a couple of decisions. One was about bribery. It wasn't one that most people talked about. Another one about the White House pressing social media companies to remove disinformation. An interesting case. They didn't actually decide it. They basically said the people who brought the case didn't have standing. So they kind of punted on this one, if anything. But it was a 6-3 decision written by, I believe, Amy Coney Barrett. And the three in dissent were Alito, Thomas, and Gorsuch. So, as you might imagine, not exactly a wonderful ruling. I will say, both Kavanaugh and Amy Coney Barrett, right now, I don't know. I mean, we haven't seen universal great results out of those two. I will say that. But kind of an interesting ruling, basically, there's also speculation that this came through the Fifth Circuit, and they basically don't like the judge there. And even the conservatives don't like him. He's a conservative Trump appointment, but they don't like him, and they're kind of like slapping him down. We'll see if that plays out. A couple more real quick. George Latimer does defeat squad member Jamal Bowman in historic New York Democratic primary. We've talked about this race a little bit a couple times. Jamal Bowman is completely nuts. He pulled the fire alarm. You remember him. He did this big rally with AOC the other day. He wound up losing by, I think it was 17 points, so really got blown out in that race. A lot of money came in on the pro-Israel side because Jamal Bowman seems to be a big fan of Hamas. So you can understand why you might want to fund that. However, another big fan of Hamas did win. AOC won her primary very easily. I think she had 82% of the vote. Another cakewalk for AOC, who's not going anywhere for probably a long time. So, I mean, lucky you. You get to hear from AOC for years and years and years to come. I've been telling you about Gen 90, which is the latest breakthrough in skincare from our friends at Genucell. Did you also know that it works on those annoying bags and puffiness under your eyes instantly? Instantly reduce the appearance of looking older anywhere you use it. It's around the eyes, the forehead, the crow's feet, laugh lines, even the chin. Will it work on your elbows? Some people just have old-looking elbows, and you got to fix that. Get some Gen 90, pop it on your elbows. I'm just throwing that out there. If that happens to be you, get Gen 90 today. Gen 90 technology is luxurious, paraben-free, silky smooth, and best of all, it starts working in seconds. And I love this because you'd say, well, I don't think that's going to happen. I'm going to buy this stuff, and it's not going to work. Well, you'll be happy to know it's guaranteed. Genucell's classic under-eye bags and puffiness serum with every Gen 90 order. You'll also get the luxurious Genucell XV Collagen Builder Moisturizer with vitamin C and hyaluronic acid in a pure natural base. Stunning results day after day. Go to Genucell.com right now. Incredible packages are there, over 50% during Genucell's spring sale. Results guaranteed or your money back. Genucell.com/stew. Order right now. Get a free limited edition spa box with bonus gifts and free shipping. It's Genucell.com/stew. Genucell.com/stew. Well, we have some January 6th news of interest, at least to me. But this is my own, the main thing I care about when it comes to January 6th. Free Jay Johnston. Jay Johnston is the actor from Mr. Show, who is one of the great sketch actors of our time. Legitimately one of the funniest guys you're ever going to see in one of these series. He's done a bunch of other stuff, Arrested Development, Bob's Burgers, a voice there, a bunch of different shows. Well, he was at the January 6th Capitol stuff. He was there. Now, pictures of him show him standing there. Now, don't really show him doing anything wrong. The description of what he did was like, for multiple seconds, he held a shield that someone had taken from a Capitol police officer. Like, there's not a lot there in the description. Now, our own Steve Baker did tell me he saw video of this incident and told me Jay Johnston did do something that was maybe aggressive. I have still not seen it. All the reporting Steve Baker's done, and I have still not seen this video, despite asking for it multiple times. What are you in on, Steve Baker? I want to know, does Steve Baker work for the Department of Justice? I'm just asking questions here. I would like to know. But I will say this, and I've said it before, I'll say it again. Just his work on Mr. Show alone should have him exempt from any negative rulings here. Apparently, he's going to plead guilty for insurrection participation, according to this headline. Of course, we know how the January 6th thing is going. A lot of people are pleading guilty to lesser crimes to get out of multiple years of prosecution and, in many cases, persecution. I believe Jay Johnston's a victim. Free Jay Johnston. I don't want to know any facts necessarily that disagree with it, so don't send me the video. Back in a second. Tomorrow night, yes, Blaze Live presents the first presidential debate, starring Glenn Beck, Jason Whitlock, Jill Savage, Sarah Gonzalez, Steve Dace, Liz Wheeler, Harmeet Dillon, Delano Squires, Dave Landau, and probably a bunch of other people that I'm forgetting. Not to mention yours truly, Stu Bergier, going to be there. You'd think maybe I would know where the show was airing. It is on YouTube, so check it out there if you'd like, or come over to blazetv.com. And check it out there. We have the first presidential debate starting at 7:30 p.m. Eastern. So we have like a 90-minute pre-show. Tons of analysis will be there. Really stuff I think you're really going to like. Then the debate happens. Come back to us. Watch our coverage after. We've got more reaction and all that going on tomorrow night. BlazeTV.com/Stu. Promo code is Stu.